Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is October 30th, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond, and in just a couple of minutes, I will be joined by NWF Hall of Famer and ring announcer, Miss Callie, and we will be discussing Spooktacular. What a show it was. Huge matches. The tag team titles were on the line. And it was just there was a Halloween Massacre match. It was, I won't say a typical NWF Fairfield show because it wasn't typical, but and I'm back. Apparently, I got disconnected for some reason, but my co-host is now on the line. So, Miss Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ace. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. Before I was so rudely interrupted by my call dropping, I was just saying how spectacular Spooktacular was.
That it was. What a night, what a night, what a night. People, if you missed it, oh my Jesus, what a night. Let's just kick it off, because that show opened with probably one of the most, what I would call, interesting six-man tags I've seen in a long time. You had Hollywood Adam Swayze, who is the current reigning and defending Tri-State champion. You had his co-star, who is the Future Stars handpicked unified champion, Rex, along with the genuine superstar, Anthony Bryant. I mean, that right there just screams good match. Taking on a team of...
Absolutely, that was a odd team for sure.
Granted, Swayze and Rex teaming up, not quite so odd, because they, of course, were there with their agent, Gideon Weinstein.
Well, of course.
Who I think is an absolute phenomenal trail, but still. Taking on the team of the Natty Boys, Dustin Jobs and Stewie Staggs, and their partner, Christopher Michael Lotus. Now, all of these men are really quite familiar with one another. I mean, you have Swayze, who has had numerous accountings with Christopher Michael Lotus, not always as the Tri-State champion, but he's been in the ring with Lotus a few times. You have one of the most decorated champions of all time in Anthony Bryant, who has been on opposite sides of the ring from all three of his opponents. I mean, really, the odd man out as far as who experience with your opponents or being in the ring with, really the odd man out in that, and that was really Rex. I mean, he's a newcomer, but he is ungodly strong. He's, for a man his size, he's actually relatively agile. So, unfortunately for the Natty Boys and Christopher Michael Lotus, though, the Hollywood Blondes, Rex and Adam Swayze, and the genuine superstar Anthony Brighton did walk out of that match with a victory. From what I recall, although my view was a little bit obstructed, it was a bit of a tainted victory, but still. What can you really say about that? I mean, these are all guys who are relatively familiar with one another. They know how this works. And the Blondes and Anthony Bryant know how to use the rules to their advantage.
That is very
true.
Exactly.
The NWF Tag Team Championship was on the line when the Bronze Swingers took on the returning Mr. Reality Check and two-time former OVW television champion, Shiloh Jones. Now, this is the first time I've ever seen Shiloh Jones actually wrestle. I hate to admit this, I'd never heard of him before Saturday night in Fairfield, but I was really, really kind of impressed with him. He actually went out, he had a really good showing, and
he was definitely interesting.
That's putting it politely. The tag team champions were able to retain their titles, and boy, they got some challenges coming up. We will get to that a little bit later on, but let's just say they got some challenges coming up. We also got to see David Tyler, who was accompanied to the ring by Nate the Snake Pelly, taking on the man from the District of Columbia, D.C. D.C. managed to pick up the victory in that match, but it's what happened afterwards that I want to talk about. Because David Tyler and D.C., I don't think they're quite done yet. I mean, David Tyler's kind of losing his marbles a little bit.
I would say that's a fair assessment.
I mean, he attacked an official, choked an official out. And then, and I don't know what he was thinking or if he was thinking, Boss Man tries to go in and get an interview with David Tyler, trying to find out what David Tyler's thinking. The man is clearly unstable. Why would you get in the ring with him? Why would you try to get an interview with him at that particular moment?
I think I would have waited until there was, I don't know, at least 5 miles and a phone line between us.
See, exactly. That's actually one of the smartest things I think I've ever heard you say. But then since you were there and I was there, we both saw what happened. He choked out Boss Man. I mean, don't get me wrong. Boss Man can really grate somebody's nerves. But that was uncalled for. And you heard Roger Ruffin say David Tyler will be fine for his actions, for not only laying his hands on an official, but also for doing what he did to Boss Man. Speaking of intriguing matches, we had a fatal four-way. And I have to say this. I can't say I was overly surprised with the winner of the match, but I was very pleased to see how well the other participants in the match tried to work together to prevent that individual from winning. Because you had Kimba. You had the star of the show, the Star Rider. The bare knuckle berserker, Lord Crew. And you had Big Cuz, who has really been on a tear as of late, just absolutely obliterating people. Choke slamming whoever he can get a hold of. There's another individual I will steer clear of.
Absolutely. I'm glad he's never gotten a hold of me.
Big Cuz did pick up the victory, getting the pin on Kimba. But man, oh man, you could definitely tell there's still some friction there between him and Lord Crew. And I don't know who's going to stop Big Cuz. I mean, that is a big, mean, nasty individual. And then, of course, he's got the walking, talking string bean always in foot behind him. And if you're not sure I'm referring to Andre Makarov. Do what?
I was going to make a bad joke that I'm going to steer clear from.
Probably a good idea. You also got to see the Titan go one-on-one with the outlaw Matt Stevens. Those two have absolutely no love lost for one another. We saw Matt Stevens return at FanFest when he helped Jordan Clearwater pick up that victory over the Titan. And you have to stop and wonder. We saw changes begin with Titan when he got that new mask. When Andrew Reed shattered his old one and he got that new mask, you saw something change in Titan. His demeanor, the way he carried himself, the lengths he was willing to go to on things. I mean, there's things he's done that I would consider very reprehensible. I mean, he's shown he has no problems involving a woman in one form or another. He's gone to bringing brass knucks to the ring with him. And talk about somebody that looks like they're losing their marbles a little bit. I mean, have you watched the man? He's kind of out there.
He has definitely He has definitely changed. He has definitely I don't even know how to describe
much
it. He's definitely done some things that were in my opinion, are beyond questionable.
Absolutely. Matt Stevens did pick up the victory in that match, but man, I gotta tell you, I can't say that. Well, actually, I'm gonna say this. That is, in my opinion, that is far from over.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not real sure that'll ever be over.
Me either, but it's
the way they do.
Exactly. We heard words from the NWF champion Joshua. Came out there acting like he was all big, bad, and I don't know what. And actually, let me back up a little bit. Legendary Larry D was in the house when we were in Fairfield. The best hand in the house. and who a lot of people consider, and I must say I'm right there with a lot of them, the uncrowned NWF champion. Called out Joshua. Lo and behold, Joshua was not who came through that curtain. Does the man never learn? Jay Donaldson made his way to that ring. Now, humor me a little bit, because I give you a lot of grief about not being the brightest bulb in the box sometimes, or the sharpest knife in the blue room, however you care to phrase this. But we both know Larry D is one of the strongest men I've ever seen in that ring.
Absolutely.
And if he chooses to put somebody on their butt, he is going to do it. And there's little to nothing anybody can do to stop him. Why would you not once now, but twice, go out and poke that big, angry bear of a man? Why?
I'm convinced Jay Donaldson has a death wish.
I'm not going to dispute that.
There's not really another explanation, any other explanation I could find for it.
So needless to say, even against the advice of Nate Pelley, Jay Donaldson challenged Larry D right then and there. And honestly, and I don't have my time card with me, less than a minute, he knocked Jay Donaldson out in under a minute.
Yeah, and this is something I wouldn't normally say about Nate Pelley, but Jay, listen to your manager next time.
Right. When he tells you, don't mess with Larry D, really, listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. Now, back to what I was saying. We heard words from the NWF champion, Joshua. Claims he's afraid of nobody. Claims he's not afraid of Larry D. And actually laid insult to the former NWF champion, who by no means is any stranger to doing things by hook or by crook. Hence, the greatest villain of all time, Ryan Stone. Now, does Joshua have the youth factor? Yes. Is he probably in a little bit better physical condition? Yes. There is no substitute for the experience factor, though, that somebody like Ryan Stone possesses. And really, I was quite shocked by some of the things Ryan Stone had to say. I mean, in all honesty, I have known Stone for years. He actually came out. He apologized to the Army because he said it. Looking at Joshua was like looking in a mirror, and he's like, I am sorry, I didn't realize how much of an asshole I have been. I mean, I don't know about you, I was shocked by that.
Oh, I almost had to pick my jaw up off the floor when I heard that.
But again, going to the wisdom of not only the former champion, but his manager as well, had a built-in automatic rematch clause in that contract for FanFest. And actually, in all of his contracts, when he was defending that title, had a built-in rematch clause. So should he, by some chance, lose the title, he could not only invoke the rematch clause, but he could name the time, the place, and the stipulation. That's smart.
Yes, it is. And boy, did he pick a good one.
Yes, he did. And we will get to that in a few minutes, because we're going to discuss the matches, and then we're going to talk about the 24th anniversary. How excited are you for that?
I'm extremely excited for that.
We saw the Women's Revolution Championship on the line when Nikki Victory defended that title against the Las Vegas Wrangler, Allie Parker. Now, Allie Parker, relatively unknown to most of the NWF Army. She is a submission specialist, and Nikki Victory, I think Nikki Victory took the best Allie Parker had to offer. And Nikki came out on top, victorious, still the Women's Revolution champion. And I've got to tell you, I wholeheartedly enjoyed that. I have loved every minute of watching her grow as a competitor in that ring. And she is not afraid of anybody she's in there with. Like, she does not back down. And I have to say, that is probably the biggest reason that I am so proud to have her as the Women's Revolution champion.
Absolutely. What she lacks in size, she definitely makes up for in heart.
No doubt about it. And on the subject of tag team matches, we saw The Hook, Jeremiah, and the King of Rock, Andrew Reed, taking on the Reunited Hippies, Jesse Hyde and Pompano Joe. Now, while it sounded sincere to a point, Jeremiah actually tried to play the crowd. He actually tried to play Jesse and Pompano by talking about his friendship with Pompano, his brotherhood with Jesse Hyde, and how Andrew Reed messed all that up. And I have to admit, he sounded very sincere, which actually proves how much of a snake in the grass Jeremiah really is. Because not only has he turned his back on his brother Jesse Hyde, he has turned his back on Pompano Joe. He has been... Him and Andrew Reed are probably the two biggest thorns in the NWF. And I cannot wait to see those four guys when they lock up at the 24-year anniversary show. Jeremiah and Andrew Reed did walk out with a victory, a very tainted victory, that really kind of led into a bit of a melee. I mean, we saw referees, we saw other wrestlers come out just to try to keep these four men apart. I got to tell you, that was a scary sight in that ring. we saw in a Halloween Massacre match. The Thugs from Jollyville, Nasty Russ and T-Money, take on Lexus Montez and Samson. Now, I tell you, Ace, have you ever seen a Halloween Massacre match before?
Yes,
or was
I
this
have.
Your first one?
No, this was, I believe, my third.
I have to say, these gentlemen pulled out all the stops. You saw ladders. You saw thumbtacks. You saw other inanimate objects being used, and they tried to tear each other apart. There's a couple times I really thought, especially with T-Money in there, I really thought he broke Lexus in half. And unfortunately for Lexus and Samson, there were some miscommunications. But probably the most shocking thing in that entire match. I mean, absolutely shocking. Not so much that Nasty Russ and T-Money walked out victorious. That's not, that really, if you stop and think about it, it's really not shocking because those two have teamed together for years. They don't even have to talk. They know what each other is thinking. Lexus and Samson haven't really worked together a whole lot. But they had each other's back. They were the Enterprise. They were supposed to be this, they were supposed to have like this unbreakable bond, almost like a bond you would have expect to see between Nasty Russ and T-Money, just not quite to that level yet. Samson handed Nasty Russ and T-Money that victory. Turned his back on somebody he helped to groom into the competitor that he is. Turned his back on Lexus. Pulled Nasty Russ on top of Lexus for that pin. Giving the boys from Jollyville the victory in that Halloween Massacre match. I was shocked. I was appalled. That was just wow. What else can you say about that?
I think wow pretty well covers it.
On a really super pleasant note, though, Ace Diamond, the NWF returns to Fairfield, Ohio, Saturday night, November the 30th, 24th anniversary show. 24 years of celebrating the NWF excellence. Folks, if you want to be at that event, be aware the doors are going to open 1 hour earlier. They are opening at 5:30. We will have specials that whole hour prior to the 6:30 start at the concession stand. So make sure you get your pre-sale tickets. They're going to be available at the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton. You can also get those tickets at any live Northern Wrestling Federation event. But let's talk about one of the big crowning points of the anniversary show, and that is the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Being inducted this year, you're going to see the Crazy Eds inducted. Now, you got to tell me, you've got to be excited about seeing the Eds inducted into the Hall of Fame. And here's a good question. We're inducting the Eds. Does that mean we're inducting Bucket also?
I would think if the Eds are going into the Hall of Fame, then Bucket has to be going into the Hall of Fame as well.
Probably Richard. And folks, if you haven't been around for a while, if you remember the days of the NWF back in the early 2000s, late 90s, former NWF champion Nick Rivers is being inducted this year. This young man deserves to be inducted, and I think this is the right time for him. Ace, I don't know. Did you ever get a chance to see Nick Rivers?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't start following the NWF until, I think the first show I ever went to was around 2008.
Let me
and
tell
then
you, Nick
I
Rivers
really
was...
didn't start following until closely until later than that. So
Nick Rivers was one of the top competitors. He competed with guys like Wildcat Chris Harris, Sean Casey, Angel, Rob the Bomb Williams. I mean, he competed with some of the top competitors in the NWF. He competed with former Hall of Famers, and, or I shouldn't even say former Hall of Famers, he competed with Hall of Fame athletes, and to see him take his spot in this Hall of Fame, just, it really is going to be a night to behold. We've got the Dozer Memorial Battle Royal. Everybody paying tribute to the man himself, Dozer. And you're also going to see the tag team championships, as we talked about earlier. The Swingers will defend against the End of the World, Muldoon, excuse me, and Jake Owen. Now, I got to tell you, that's going to be a huge challenge for the Swingers right there, taking on Muldoon and Jake Owen. Those are two big, nasty individuals. And while they may be a little bit familiar with Muldoon, Jake Owen is on a whole other level that I don't know that these boys are ready for.
Absolutely. Jake Owen is a world-traveled professional wrestler, and he's every bit as tough as Muldoon and maybe a little crazier.
Swingers, do your homework. That's all I'm going to say, because Muldoon and Jake Owen are no two individuals to look past. Like I said, they have a little bit of familiarity of Muldoon. But Jake Owen, he's pretty, don't get me wrong, he's well-known, he's well-traveled, top-caliber athlete. His state is, he's planning to make his mark in the NWF. And if they've got their sights set on those tag team titles, the Swingers have got one heck of a long night to look at, because those are two individuals that are not going to go down easily. So fun and games aside, boys, bring your A game and be prepared for a fight. Be prepared for a war, because that is what that will be. The Women's Revolution Champion, Nikki Victory, puts her title on the line against, making her debut in the Northern Wrestling Federation, Paloma Starr. Now, Ace, I'm not real familiar with Paloma Starr. I know you've seen her compete. What does Nikki Victory have to do in order to maintain that Women's Revolution Championship? What kind of a competitor is Paloma Starr?
Paloma Starr is, as have been most of Nikki Victory's opponents, she's a bigger girl than Nikki is. So Nikki's going to have to use her speed and agility to counteract Paloma's size and brutality. She's a bit of a brawler, so Nikki's going to have to watch out for that.
And that, we all know she's got the backing of the NWF Army, so
Absolutely.
Nikki Victory and Paloma Starr on the anniversary show. We've got the Hook Jeremiah and the King of Rock Andrew Reed taking on Pompano Joe and Jesse Hyde. Ace Diamond, this will be in a steel cage. These four men will be locked inside of that steel structure. And
that is going to be brutal.
We both know these cages have no give. There's not a lot of love there.
Absolutely not.
And you never walk out the same as you walk in. And we made reference to the smarts of the former NWF champion and his manager, Nate Pelley, with regards to that clause in the contract for the automatic rematch and the fact that Ryan Stone could pick the time, the place, and the stipulation. Well, folks, he picked that. So not only does Ryan Stone get his rematch will be on November 30th at the 24th anniversary show in Fairfield, Ohio, against Joshua, and it will be a no-holds-bar match. Some would say that favors the attitude of the new champion. Let me remind you, folks, Ryan Stone is not known as the greatest villain of all time for no reason.
Absolutely. I think this stipulation definitely favors the former champion.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's not forget, he does have a snake in his corner.
No doubt. And obviously, he still holds close with Jay Donaldson and David Tyler. So, will they play a factor in this match as well? All things the current champion has to think about. Not only does he have to watch out for Ryan Stone, as you pointed out, he'll have Nate Pelley in his corner. Will Jay Donaldson and David Tyler be lurking somewhere as well? Because we've seen that act. It is not out of the realm of possibility. But folks, remember, get those tickets. They're going to be at the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton, as well as all live Northern Wrestling Federation events. And we are currently on the road, folks. This Saturday night, we will be at 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place for a bone-crushing night of action. Doors do open at 6 p.m. with a 7 p.m. bell time with limited seating. So get there early, enjoy a night of wrestling action. And then on November the 9th, we make our way to the sports complex in Mount Orb, Ohio. On November 16th, we return to the Ludlow Theater in Ludlow, Kentucky. And like I said, folks, the big one, the 24-year anniversary show, will be on November 30th. Doors will open 1 hour early. They open at 5:30. They will have special deals at the concession stand that whole first hour that we have those doors open. So make sure you join us on November 30th. Join us at all our live events. Check out the Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. Ace Diamond, I hope to see you at some of these events. And have a good night.
Have a great night, Miss Callie. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to follow the Northern Wrestling Federation at all of these great events and all over social media. For Miss Callie, this is Ace Diamond. Have a great night, everybody.